Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and our Lord the Christ. Well, as you know, we continue our Lenten journey focusing on the theme, the hand of the Lord. On Ash Wednesday, as you may recall, when we began our journey through the season of Lent, we learned that the hand of the Lord freely gives good gifts and gives freely the ability into our hands to do and to accomplish amazing things with these hands that God has given us. Last Wednesday, we learned that the hand of the Lord creates as well as saves. Not only in times of trouble, but when we're drowning in the seas of life, the hand of the Lord saves us, as it did with Peter. But not only does it save us from the immediate problems and issues, but it saves us unto eternal life, as those for all those who call on his holy name. Well, this evening, our readings from Luke's gospel, we once again hear of the hand of the Lord, the mighty hand of the Lord that has come to defeat Satan once and for all and free us from its grip. Now, we need to know that on our own, by our own hands, no one has this kind of power. Only God does. That's one of the verses or stanzas that we just finished singing, that nothing, no power on earth can match his might but God's. But Jesus's, the Lord. Now, according to Luke, the 9th chapter, an exasperated father came up to Jesus pleading on behalf of his demon-possessed son. This demon has taken a hold of his son, had convulsed him, and would not leave him be. Jesus' own disciples tried to cast out this demonic force on this young man, but they were not able to do anything. Perhaps they weren't equipped for that at the moment, at that time. Then the demon threw the boy to the ground just as they were coming toward Jesus. The demon threw him and allowed him to convulse. Perhaps the demon was trying to show off its power by throwing this young man onto the ground at Jesus' feet. But all Jesus needed was his word of rebuke to make the demon leave the boy. He healed the young man, lifted him up, and handed him over to his father. The disciples, by their own hands, they were no match for this demon. Neither would any of us have been by our own hands. You see, the devil's power is not to be trifled with by mere human beings. This much I know. Having grown up in the Malagasy Lutheran Church, where there's a lot of demon exorcisms, I know that by our mere human hands and human power, we cannot drive out demonic forces. So when Jesus comes, doing what no mere human could do, you would assume that the people would have welcomed what he did, driving out demonic powers. You would assume that people would have embraced and celebrated his ability to command and to drive out satanic forces. But the opposite was the case. They accused Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. But it is ludicrous to say that Satan would cast out his own demonic forces. That's why Jesus quoted a principle saying that a house divided against itself cannot stand. But because the religious leaders of his day were threatened by Jesus' authority and power, and because they were so deceived by Satan's power, they couldn't see the liberating and the freeing power of the hand of God as it was happening right before their very eyes. Now, as much as I don't like to talk about Satan's abilities and power, unless it gives Satan some sort of praise or some sort of credits, the reality of Satan's power is in its ability to deceive, in its ability to lie. Yes, if you've heard it before, you know that Satan and the devil is a liar. That's their power. And as we know all too well, from the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were Satan's first victims of lies. They listened to the crafty voice of the serpent instead of listening to the loving voice of God. And as Adam and Eve's descendants, we have suffered the consequences of wanting to be our own gods to this very day, of wanting to do things our own way, of wanting to take everything in our own hands, being deluded that we're in control, being bamboozled that we have power. But in reality, it is the greatest kind of captivity there is. It is to put ourselves under Satan's power and thereby receives its fate, which is eternal condemnation. The more we're deluded that we could do things on our own, with our own hands, that we don't need God, the more we are subjected to and be held in the grip of Satan himself, being lied to, deluded, and thinking that we are free indeed, but we're not. Friends, in the book of Revelation, God did not create hell for human beings. He created hell for Satan and the fallen angels. If God truly and only let us have it our way and let us take everything into our own hands, we would find ourselves in the greatest captivity ever, bound, held against our own will by Satan himself. And we cannot break free from this captivity to sin, this captivity to death, and from the devil. Not by our own might, not by our own hands, not by our own will. Jesus said that Satan is like a strong man. No one around can match his strength. And by his might, he keeps hold of all of his possessions, those whom he has deceived and deluded We cannot escape by our own might. No mere human being is strong enough to defeat this strong man, this satanic grip on humanity. The devil's house and kingdom are terrifyingly too strong for us. That is, until they come up against the finger of God. The finger of God is Old Testament speak about the way that God's work of creation. The finger of God is how God continues to shape and mold and paint and create in his kingdom, in the universe. The kingdom of God also describes how he inscribed, going back to the book of Exodus, God is taught, the finger of God is used to describe how God inscribed his commandments on those stone tablets. Those stone tablets were carved out with the Ten Commandments by the finger of God. In other words, the finger of God is his word. And as we know from John chapter 1, his word was what, from Genesis chapter 1, his word is what created the universe and all that there is. He created everything, and by his word, he gave his laws to Moses. And in John chapter 1, we're told that Jesus himself is the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. At the Word of God, all demons shudder and flee. Jesus then is the very finger of God. It takes only the finger of God for Satan's kingdom of tyranny to come crashing down like a house of cards. Now, unlike Adam and Eve, Jesus did not succumb to the devil's temptation in the wilderness. He has overpowered the strong man in order to plunder his house. It kind of reminds me of the TV series SWAT, S-W-A-T, where they go in, a group of highly tactical military police goes in and rescue hostages. I guess Jesus is our own SWAT, one-man SWAT team. He goes in, plunders the devil's house and possessions in order to rescue us from the devil, from Satan's grip. He has overcome and overpowered the strong man in order to plunder his house. Jesus has gained the upper hand on the devil in order to rescue us out from under his tyranny. That is just what God did in Christ Jesus when he came casting out demons. Yes, the devil is no match for the Son of God, for the finger of God. And I dare say it may be just the pinky finger of God. The devil is no match even for God's pinky finger. And by going to the cross, Christ defeated sin, death, and Satan or the devil for you, for us. In Christ Jesus, we are forgiven and given eternal life. We are the victors. We are the winners. The devil's power and its hold on us has been thwarted. His accusation hold no weight. Christ has fulfilled the promise that we heard in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where it was promised that the Son of Man, Son of God, has crushed the serpent's head underfoot. Yes, Jesus has taken you from Satan's grip of despair and placed you right in the mighty hand of the Lord. So now you can cast all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your strife, and all of your issues upon Christ. He will protect you, and no one can ever snatch you out of his hand. This is why the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 tells us that nothing in all of creation, no thing, that includes Satan and his minions, no thing in all of creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Indeed, 1 Peter chapter 5 reminds us and warns us, indeed, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Well, getting too close is extremely dangerous, but he is bound. He is fettered. His time is short. He has been defeated by Christ, the resurrected Christ. Brothers and sisters, you are under the mighty hand of the Lord. You are in the mighty hand of God. The devil cannot harm you because you're in good hands, in God's hands, in the hand of the Lord. So Martin Luther writes, though hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us, we tremble not, unmoved we stand. They cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage, in battle we will engage. His might is doomed to fail, God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues him. You imagine what that one little word that subdues Satan is? It's the very finger of God, Jesus. That is why, again, in the Malagasy Lutheran Church that I grew up in, we cast demonic powers out, not in my name, not in the senior pastor's name, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That one little word, Jesus, is enough to subdue the satanic powers of Satan and its minions. Yes, just the finger of God knocks him down. This gives us confidence to cast all our anxieties and worries upon him. For by the finger of God, Jesus has defeated the strong man, Satan, and Jesus has plundered his goods in order to rescue us and place us in the mighty and productive hand of the Lord. Friends, I encourage you to trust it, to believe it, and to live it, and then repeat.